Well, Owen, and as I say, the company though maintain the right to supply the commercial customers, or the high voltage of 33,000 volt customers, who were the working collieries. And actually their own colliery, which is right near the washery at Hexham Washery, washing pants, stocky right street.
How did you feed back to Hexham then? Through Richmond Lane?
Oh yeah, Richmond Lane had a line.
To Hexham?
Yeah.
As soon as the washery was built?
Oh, they were feeding Hexham before that.
Were they?
Oh yeah.
What, Hexham Engineering?
Yeah, they've been doing that before that, yeah.
I didn't know that before. That that line would run down alongside the railway.
Yeah, oh yeah. And then the washery was an extension.
Yeah.
Well, when the amalgamation, when the Hunter Valley was formed, Hunter Valley
gets formed. 62.
Yeah. And we maintained the customer college, as we termed them, were. Yeah, we maintain all those people. As
in addition, client. In yeah. addition to your own.
Yeah, Hunter Valley only bought the domestic supply,
or
what would have been the Cessnock franchise.
Yeah.
We would turn profit. So these agreements are franchises. Originally, Tally had the Kersley franchise and the Cessnock franchise, but it was all amalgamated then to Cessnock Council, that became the Cessnock franchise. Oh, those green should all copies thereof were there, and I think even how much first settlement and all this levy came to.
Back in the early days again, when Caledonian Collieries first supplied Vincent Street, not Vincent Street, first supplied Cessnock, they fixed rates then it was a set rate that they agreed to pay for street lighting and for housing and everything. But council fixed that, determined that.
Oh no, the rating structure, the pricing structure, or the pricing proper, was determined from Newcastle by, I'd say, the chief engineer, so Fletcher, and fuel costs and so on, the generation costs,
I was going way back, before indexation, way back in the 20s.
They charged.
When we first came to Cessnock, we had to put in so much to the Caledonian Collieries for your power, for your meter.
Yeah, so much for meter, they had all this. Yeah.
And you put it in and then if ever you left the district, you're supposed to get it back. I don't think anyone ever got it back.
I'm sure they didn't.
But it went in.
But I had some old agreement forms.
Was this for the public or for consumer?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gosh.
Would Clary have them down there?
No, I doubt it.
Oh, they're here.
Not going to say, but it turned up being really
funny. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff down there. When I talked to Clary about it, he's too busy to sit down to look at them.
Those old agreement forms for an ordinary consumer are specified all this. Look, amongst these agreements down there,
there might be some.
And I think you'll find that there'll be some of those attached.
Yeah.
The original agreement forms or the original consumer. Applications. Yeah, they'd be attached. I'm sure they would. Yeah. Well, when we go down, get in there.
I'll be today, but I'll come
back.
Oh,
probably can get in today. While the iron's hot. You won't catch me.
I'll catch Clara.
We'll go down and the rates
were fixed by
Kelly. Different.
Not the council. Well,
no, sir. Yeah.
I thought the council had a lot to say in it early on.
Well, they could have. Now, I would say right from the inception has been the company and they've modelled their rates on other areas a lot of things. Yeah?
In the early part, I know they charged in the rates an amount for town lighting. I'm talking about the council rates now.
Listen, excuse me. one fella that we never thought of who was involved in the town was old Rumpin. But his name, Jack's father.
Oh, Jack, yeah, old Jack Rumpin.
The old fella,
yes,
yeah.
I knew that.
Yeah.
I knew he was involved in even Jack today, you can't find Jack. Jack worked on this with Drury too, didn't he?
Oh, Jack was the inspector. Yeah.
Yeah, but he had all sorts of jobs over the years. I can remember Jack when he was on the lorry, you know, the old Tommy Ward's days. And then he got to be an inspector, going around looking at gear. And then didn't he go with the county council?
Yeah.
And then he came back as an inspector of equipment.
Well, his father
was
mentioned well up in the village.
Yeah, he was very much involved in the early days.
He was involved in this. I think this letter, the quotation is addressed to him as
The engineer.
For bloody the street lining. Now, I think that is it. So,
way back.
It's old Cyril Franklin. Did you remember him?
Yes, I can remember Cyril Franklin. He was, yes.
I went to his funeral.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a day like yesterday, pouring rain.
Yeah, I can remember that too. And I remember him when he was with them in the early days.
Because he wouldn't have been at the graveside.
No, I wasn't at that.
And that pond, is it?
Yeah,
I can remember.
Yeah.
He's on one end. The bloody rope slipped off. Oh my God, they dropped Dad. Poor Cyril. They dropped Dad. He dropped him all the way. Bang. Well, Al Rumford is the fella, I'm sure, that this seems interesting. So that'll give you an idea of the time. Yeah, that's dated.
Let's go back into your technical things. When you came in, did they have those automatic switches for switching off street lighting and all that?
No.
That came after with...
Time clocks. It was all time clocks. They had...
only on hours, not on...
Not on daylight, it was time clocks.
Time clocks.
And old Tom Cleggon?
Yeah.
If you care to talk to Eric Wall, Clary, I'll tell you, he was the greatest street light watcher in Melbourne, it's ever been there.
Yeah.
One bloody glad man up told me what his bike around the time.
You didn't know when Kelly's took over Velvet. See, Velvet was still going in 31 on their own steam. Had their own meter readers and street lights.
You mean Velvet Town or
Velvet? Velvet, I'm talking about the local consumers there. Or even Belbird. I think it would be the same time because Belbird was supplying them. And when Belbird cut out, Belbird still retained the franchise on agreement and sold the franchise to, or leased it to Kelly's for a start. In the start, it was a very complicated setup. I think they always thought that they might have went back into...
To the generation.
Yeah.
But anyway... There's a couple of agreements for Belvedere down there.
Down there too, yeah. Oh, that's when the change is. That will be the time.
And there was a big, we had a big fight with Belvedere. We found that somebody had connected quite a slice of power at Belvedere on the wrong side of the meter.
Yeah, at Belvedere Gold.
It's like getting it for years.
It wasn't deliberate, was it?
Well, one would hate to say so, but it was deliberate.
Was Joe Davison the electric engineer at that time?
I think it was in Stanley's time.
Stanley's time? Oh, as late as that.
Well, but unfortunately we found it.
Yeah.
I think it was out.
How would you get on then? Go back into back power?
Oh, yeah, certainly.
Charge up for back money?
You know that there's quite a file down there, and I don't think it would be breaking any problems. Now that they're both... stuffed the Cessnock store. Did you ever saw the Cessnock store? The Venture Street meter reader was Ted Delaney. Right?
Oh, gosh,
old Ted on his push bike,
Ted,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. And Ted's off this particular day. So Greg Fulick.
Yeah, Greg.
He did Venture Street. And he came back in and he said, there's a meter down at the store that I can't, confine my shelf. He said, it's at the butcher shop. And Teddy Ward, you know Teddy?
Yeah.
Teddy here. Couldn't be. Richard was not there, and it's got to be Cerebi. Oh, geez. Been put in when the butcher shop had been remodeled. How many years ago that was? Meter? No, but I've never been read. The file on that down there.
What did Old Delaney have to say on it? They only did what they were told.
Well, he did.
Do you know, Mick Edwards told me this, and I know it was right because I'd always seen on TED. They had to take their books home and write them up. Why was that?
That were the fringe benefits.
Yeah, they wrote it up.
Their bloody job.
They wrote it up in their own time.
They sit there after work and write them up.
He'd spend hours writing up. To read the next day. And they didn't. They didn't finish them any earlier.
They'd come in and pay in their money that they collected. And I think they had to work, they brushed themselves in the Archibald's building on Saturday morning, wasn't it?
Yeah, to collect.
I don't know whether they're going to pay for that. I'd come in a minute.
I think that was a convenience.
Johnny Russell, and I think he would be the last of the tribe that would remember that. Whether they got paid, I suppose they did get paid for that. But these fellas had to, they ran up there.
Johnny Russell was with Richmond Mail, or Stanford, who got their power from Richmond Mail, and he was with Curry, wasn't he, actually? I didn't think he came up into...
Johnny Russell was a meter reader for the town line.
Yeah.
Clark.
Where it says no. Was it when the town lining took over?
Oh, John Russell,
Teddy Ward was up, John. Yeah, I remember when Teddy Ward, but I always understood
that. Then he went to County Council.
Johnny Clark was a junior clerk with the electric office. Johnny Russell was a junior clerk with the electricity office of Stanford office 1951 to 1956. Oh, he might have come up
there. Ah, he might have come from then, yeah.
1956. Power supplied to Curry from Richmond Main. At that time, electricity office was under the control of Stanford office. Jack Dodds, the manager, Joe Reese, the under-manager, Sis Lavender, the chief clerk.
Ah, yeah.
Monthly accounts, the meter readers with Jim Griffiths and Des Lindsay, was taken over by the Hunter Valley County Council on the 1st of March 1962. So it's between 56 and 62, Johnny Russell could have been up here with you. I didn't know where
he came in here, yeah. Okay.
Was that because Stanford closed down, or...
I just thought I was at Shemby, wasn't
he? No, he wasn't always there. I knew that. I knew he'd been involved in the other area. I went to him because I knew of his association with the Stanford.
I didn't know that. That's something I didn't know. Yeah. I thought I assumed he was always
I found that out from one of the Curry fellows. Somebody told me on something else. I wasn't chasing his electricity as I am at the moment.
I was doing something else at the time. I thought John was purely...
And they told me then that he went over, so he got involved in... in the electricity with the Hunter Valley, because when he came here, I knew it was, I thought it was through Richie that he went into the...
No, he was a meter reader here. Meter reader clerk. He didn't know that. Not 10 in my office. Yeah. John. I didn't know he'd been
Curry. Was he here when you came then? Was a meter reader.
Yeah.
And old Ted Delaney would be still there then too.
Oh, yeah, it's Ted.
He was nearly 90, but...
Oh, Ted was there. The meter readers would be Les Collin, I told Ted. Yeah. Mick Edwards.
Was Mick still there when that time?
Claude. Three, Rick Bullock was four.
You only ever had about four or five, didn't you?
Yeah, all on bloody push bikes.
Yeah. And who was your chief clerk then?
Teddy Ward was the chief clerk when I came in here in 58.
Was he?
Ted Ward.
Had he taken over Albert Finney had finished then?
Albert Finney had finished. I went to Albert Finney's send off when I was at Central.
Did you? I knew it was about that time, in the 50s.
57.
When Albert,
Albert
finished. He was on longer than some of the earlier ones, like old Jack Bivens and...
Wasn't Jack a meter reader?
Yeah, he was a meter reader, but he died. Well, I think he retired out in the poultry business, and then he died. He wasn't...
Jack Nevin.
Old Bob White. Remember old Bob? He wouldn't be when you were there. He'd be finished before that. He was 90 when he died, and he's been dead about 10 years.
He
was very early. And Don Darrick.
Len Alexander only came from the middle after Aberdeen.
Did he come from Aberdeen into that firm?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yes. Then got a job. We had Len.
It was a fill-in job to him.
Well, yeah.
Tommy Day also went into there, didn't he? After extended close, he was on the pit top, and
Tommy Day was the weighman, or the check weighman at Central.
Yeah.
Then he came in the morning and picked up Boss in
the He was company's weighman. I don't think he was check weighman.
No, Kenny Bowden was company weighman.
Was he? Mm-hmm. I always thought Tommy was the company's weighman. He came in as pit top boss. Well, he was pit top boss out at Central.
Well, as it progressed, I think he did go onto the staff at the... well, I would say so, but he came in
to extended as doing something like that, and then from there he went into the
they gave him a job with it.
After extended was on the dying stage, start the cut back or something.
That's right. Yeah.
And he was offered the job, and he went in, and that's how he came to be there when the takeover.
Same with Rennix.
Oh, he was the same, was he?
Yeah, he was an overman. This is when Kefford was the manager.
Yeah. Kefford, he was at Mike. Character plus.
I don't matter character, he's a quibar.
Funny man, he was a funny man. Mad keen on shares. Did you ever get involved with that?
Yeah. His father was a mathematical genius.
Was that
mathematics? Yeah. His feet were long the bloody stool. Jesus. Hung both ends. He wanted Rennix as an overman. Okay, that's how Rennix got the job. Got a job when Rennix was there.
Yeah.
I should have done that fairly out there.
Oh, yes, it's always been there. Well, was Bill Collins in the stores here then when you came?
Yeah, Bill was assistant to,
Alex Nevin.
Alex Nevin, in the box store.
In the box store,
yeah.
Was that your era when they were there then? Alec went then to Pellamain, wasn't it?
Yeah, when Brown took over, they closed the box store.
Did they here completely then?
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was your store. I thought that was the...
No, the box store was the box store for Caledonian Collieries.
Not for you?
No.
Where did you draw your stores from then as electric?
Oh, well, virtually through there. It was all, everything was delivered there, yeah. That was another, the depot was up here where those two sheds are.
Yeah.
Was the old depot, and the gear that we had in those days was not much, but all that in Boxwood.
Yeah.
And Stedden and Bill Collins, yeah, they were the old guy, Guy Holdaway.
Yeah.
Remember old Guy?
Yeah, was not a good idea.
Well, he was. Not Holdaway, Guy, not Holdaway, he used to have the butler run there, Guy, I'm sure it's Guy, not Holdaway.
That's how I did.
Elsa in the box store. Oh, Elsa, yeah. Oh, yeah, before Bill Collins run there. Bill Collins, yeah. And then Guy. I'm sure his name was Guy. No, not Guy Holdaway, that was
wrong.
I
can't remember. Anyone else had it on?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
In fact, the bloke before them was Billy Hall.
Oh, yeah. Well, they had their stores out of there, and then, of course, the power side would have had those two. That was the depot.
Yeah.
Where they?
Yeah, the depot was always there.
Yeah.
Back in the very, very early days. And the office for the light meter readers was in where your office was down there. You know, down in the building down there, wasn't it? Or up here, up near the other up near the other.
Don't you remember the office used to be just down the hill here?
Yeah, I can remember it somewhere. I know it was a separate office.
Well, the main office, no, the main extended office.
Yeah.
If you recollect, in those days you came in past the bulb store, the road was
straight
in, and the office was down here.
Yeah,
now, that whole office was shipped over.
Yeah, where it is now.
And the extension on it, there was an extension on it.
For the right downloading. Albert Finney. Would Albert Finney really be the first, or was there somebody before him?
Oh, okay. I don't know about that, Jack. I think he was bloody near the first.
He wasn't. Albert never had anything to do with the colliery.
No, no.
He was always in town light.
The same with Teddy Wood.
Yeah.
Teddy Wood had nothing to do with
it. And I think, who followed, Teddy Wood followed straight behind Albert, didn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
that was the only two, I think.
But I'm aware that was the only two, yeah. Yeah.
I can't remember.
There could have been somebody before Albert, but Albert, Teddy Wood, and then the proud Ted died, and John Russell.
Oh, John went back into the clerical side, didn't he?
Oh, John was always assistant. He would always carry a third dog out there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was on the meter reading.
Well, ostensibly, you would say that was it. But he was the only one of them that could help out the office.
Yeah. He'd had a fair bit of experience, like when he
John,
came
yeah.
Only a young fellow, but...
I suppose he was come from Curry. No, I don't
know. Yeah.
Yeah. But then... The whole show was autonomous. It was on its own. It was, because it was on colliery property, all correspondence had to be signed by the colliery manager, respectively.
Yeah, well, that's always the case.
It didn't mean a bloody thing to to him. it was countersigned by whoever was in charge, as well as the manager. All reports were in the same fashion. And virtually, it was a completely independent
show.
Yeah.
Was it always like that, Ian? Back right back before you were going?
As far as I'm aware.
It still always faced that way.
They always had the electrical engineer of the colliery, who was the nominal head of the.
And
you see, in the early days, in the old hand mining days, there wasn't that much job out if you had the.
Labour,
the
power
wasn't
hardly
in the
people there.
This is
running
right.
For their winches. In the very early
stage,
there wasn't much
power. Well, there's only winches and rolling or something.
They had to start and there would have been cutters and all the slides.
Well, since I started mechanising, the handheld stuff there.
Did you have anything to do with the power going down below, or was that all? That was a separate identity in there?
No, as I say, you had the luck.
You had that as well, underground?
Oh, yeah.
Did you? I had extended.
Oh, yeah.
And what about other pits? You didn't go under them. It was only extended. You were involved on.
Yeah, no, exactly.
From you to underground.
Oh yeah. You're charged a lot when you get that certification in mine.
Yeah.
Oh, you're
the one. But when you came in to here in charge of the
colliery tent. In between
of the line.
Floating around here, you had to go down there and look at something underground. Yeah.
And at Aberdare and
Oh, not at Aberdare, only here.
Only here.
Only the surface, the supply side and anywhere else.
Yeah.
Far from where I was the registered man.
Yeah. And the supply in its original day, as we know, was interconnected between Aberdare and Central and Extended.
Right.
Did that always continue, or did they when things got a bit different, did they alter all that original power?
Oh yeah, when they brought in the
like this map you got here, the big
when they brought in the 33,000, yeah, they ran feeders and that was interconnected. Then the generations ceased.
Did it?
So it was purely just supply each spot. There was no interconnectivity power back from anywhere else. It was always an endeavour to get what they call a remain, where if you lost a feeder, a line there, you could feed back.
Oh.
You know, always endeavour to get
a flow,
a ring where you can chop that bit out, but you still feed this way, which was a feature of the system. We eventually went to that.
Ian, in the just keeping with power, but
yeah.
I can recollect you with when you were over the club in the early days and storms and one thing another. You'd have to be away, man. Why did they? Of course, that's concern. Would they have? Did they have?
We never had equipment. We never had the protection equipment that
they've got now.
Oh yeah, yeah. That would give you the control of these things. What you've got to go back and recollect is the timing, or the time that which we speak, when the Electricity Commission, I'd say, were the ones who really went into the control of the supply side, which is their game. And overseas developments meant that we get equipment that allows a fault that develops, such as lightning strike. They have equipment that senses that fault and trips it out like that. But immediately it will reclose it.
Yeah.
See? And it might give it three shots. You can set it for what you like and the timing. And after, the third shot, and the fault is still there, it'll lock out.
When you had to go chase that, what were you looking for? Where a line down
there? Yeah, where it happened. Yeah. But you'd go
chase. You wouldn't know where it was.
No, we would come down here, and the man on standby, as he didn't know, and I had to be. Matter of fact, we had a 12-line switchboard here, in that corner.
Yeah.
To every man. And of course, the hardest work one was the lady of the house. She knew what to do.
Yeah.
And we would then, you'd get calls from so-and-so that they're in power. And the substation here, where all the distribution was fed from, all manually controlled.
How many substations did you have altogether?
Oh, well, we did some substations. The terminology is a bit erroneous. I think what you're referring to, the main control point.
Yeah.
Well, we only had the one assessment.
Well, that's the one
that's
here.
Down here. And all the feeders emanated from here.
Oh, yeah.
And the terminology substation these days
means
between the transformer and the pulse of the substation. Yeah. So, this all from here, and all the feeders went from here, and they're all manually controlled. Well, we fitted protection relays to them. We found a lot of things out about that we didn't know too. But we found that we could save a lot of damage with these relays, but when they went out, that was it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas the county council now, that's that big year,
they'll
have
pinpointed.
Ah, yes, they can pinpoint it, then they can circumvent it, they can isolate.
Yeah.
Well, we used to have to do that, get a fellow out on a truck, and he'd go and look, and then, oh, well, now, no radio. We never had a radio.
Yeah.
They'd all have to report back.
Yeah.
We'll pull those links and we'll get the hospital back. You know, we'll do something like that. It was all a discussion. There was no set planning because it was impossible to know what was going to happen. And somebody had to be there to make sure nobody closed it on them.
Yeah.
Till you got the word back. And he had to come back on the track.
Yeah.
Or telephone, spend 5 cents or 6 cents of his own money
To ring back.
And ring 333.
Yeah, to tell you what.
And I'd be up here and then I'd have to go down. Yeah. And we decide what we're going to do. One night we were all in the services club. Oh, early in the piece, very early. 58 or something. 59. Friday night playing dominoes, and everybody was there. Well, I'd say everybody. Clive Woodbury, Eric, and Vincent Street were down. Well, what us do now?
Vincent Street at that hour of Friday,
and we naturally everybody just came like a flock of mullet to the Woodbury to the substation. And it was the old substation. This is what.
This new substation has been put in since the since the amalgamation since
at the amalgamation we had to do this.
You had to do it.
We built it. Mm. And I designed it.
What the substation, the new modern one.
Yeah.
So that you kept your power separate from
them. No. So we brought it up to a standard acceptable to county council.
Oh, I see.
And the commission.
Yeah.
It was a real junk to have before.
Yeah.
Oh, old gear.
Yeah.
Oh, not a oil.
It was only just for the purchase, so that they would be.
Well, they were happy with our control.
Yeah.
Oh, Jovi. Yeah. And we built that to bring it up to somewhere near modern standards. The other one was crap, but until you know. Anyway, we would all gather there. I'll never forget this night, Clyde would be. Interesting. Oh, Wood came out. It's the first time I'd heard it, it was certainly not really good information. He said, there's going to be panic, let the bastard be organised. Everybody's saying what they're doing. And I never know. So Mitzer Street, that happened to be a crossover of both of the store. And the old store, Bacon. Punching the whole of Mitzer Street. Friday night, and those days, Friday night shopping. That was a good introduction to what's going to happen. So, the same thing applied. You come looking, if somebody rings and says, oh, look, there's a wire down there sparking out here. Then you depend on the public. Yeah, the public is terrific. Yeah.
And ring you up.
Oh, yeah, look, there's a wire down there.
What did you do on that when you had the broken wire or broken arm?
Cross arm.
Yeah.
Oh, well, the fellas get into it. They wouldn't take them off the chains, or they'd make a temporary pair that would get out of it.
And branches of
bypass. They couldn't speak highly enough of the things they had to do. But not a radio in sight. It was marvel how the thing
was. Especially in the dark, I think.
Oh, the dark, pouring rain. Yeah. I've seen these fellas hiking, walking the line to Cockle Creek in pouring rain in the middle of the night. To get it ready for the next day.
Mitch's our grandfather used to always say that was his job. He used to have me in paint them all the way to the ground.
Who was that?
Oh, Tommy Davies.
Tommy Davies?
What used he do? Tommy Davies?
The towers.
Painted the towers.
Painted the paint numbers on. They had numbers painted on there.
Tommy Davies. That's the name I don't know.
He lived in Love Street, probably Love Street.
Oh, I've never heard that name. No.
What, he only painted the numbers or he painted the towers?
I can remember if I asked.
Mum,
but I'm sure
he
used to
go along
and
paint the numbers on the towers.
Well,
used to walk near right to the
clock
tree.
Yeah, well, now...
Each tower was numbered, anyway.
Oh, yes.
212, wasn't it, extended?
Right. That's another thing should be down there, is a complete design drawings with the numbers of the towers on them.
I've seen them.
Those drawings, have you?
Yeah.
Dave Russell have them?
No. Terry Higgins got them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen them.
Well, that's
in
talk.
Fact, I can tell
you. They don't have the date on them. They don't have the date they were prepared.
He didn't have a real lot on it. He was telling me that each what was this 2,200 volts, 415 something. What was that? Oh, Aberdeen Central.
Well, the substation.
That must have been the power that came in there.
No.
There was 201 towers. The last one was Aberdeen Extended. Each tower was weighed 2,201 pounds, and the heights were 48 foot 3 inches. The highest tower up in the air was 7,977 feet.
That's about Marvin.
Somewhere up that way. It was number 126.
That's the one they used to love.
Yeah. And what was the strain on the tower? 4,664. What was that pull of the wire? Strain tower or something, or was that a different tower?
No, strain tower. Or is that the weight of the tower? What's the weight of the
weight tower?
The
weight of the tower was 2,200.
Yeah, that'd be the weight of the strain tower.
The weight of the strain
tower. Double strength.
What was that business about those volts? That was the power coming at the substation, wasn't it?
Where it...
At Extended and Aberdeen.
No, 33,000 volts.
Well, what was the 2,000 volts?
You're transformed down to 2,200.
Oh, transformed. 33,000 coming in from Cockle Creek.
Yeah, it was generated at Cockle Creek at 3,000.
No, don't worry about Cockle Creek. I'll get that off that hill.
I was going to look up his name.
Did it all pull in the parish?
That's his glory. They generate, I think.
Ian, did you ever have to renew those big transmission lines to Cockle Creek? Like, did you put new...
Okay.
New wire, yes. Did you run?
Yeah, what? It was,
What, in areas, or did you do the whole lot?
Oh, in areas.
In areas.
I think it was mainly maintenance.
Maintenance stuff,
but repair, well,
sections.
Yeah, when something you see the wire cracking up and you replace it. There's never an attempt to run the whole
right through a line. Who did the job of your linking in the Richmond Main to Paxton line when it cut in onto your head central? Was that done by your armed fellows, or did you have contractors in? All you people did that, do you reckon? I wasn't suggesting that you weren't technical enough. I just thought that they might have had a contractor to do the line.
That's what I was saying. This Lynn Kemp, he came and checked it all out. I think we were virtually pulling the electricity commission in as well.
Yeah. Oh, at the same time.
Yeah. And they were in a different lane. So he had to be involved, and he checked it out.
Yeah.
Even our friend Mr. McCarg.
And Joe was involved in the power station here early on as extended.
Before you, he was.
Joe should have a bit of knowledge of the early stuff too, then.
He should have.
I wonder what year he first came here.
Well, he was teaching in tech earlier.
I know that. He was seconded. Oh, he came from the tech here. He wasn't in here and then went to the tech and then back to the other.
He left the tech and went to Lithgow, I believe.
Oh, yes.
He put the state mine at Lithgow, one of those mines at Lithgow, and then he came and took the job here.
Oh, I see.
And I think he certainly turned his managers to get here. But his original experience in mining was purely at Lithgow, and then here, and naturally, he also taught at tech here. Right?
He'd been Purcell's day, would he?
I'm sure so, yeah. And then he swapped jobs with Ken.
Robertson?
Yeah, Ken was a good one. Ken came here, Joe, and Richard Mason. It was Ted Tudor was the chief of John A. Brown.
Yeah.
And when he got out, of course Joe, when he was chief of the engineers, of John A. Brown. Yeah. And when they amalgamated, Joe was made chief of the engineer of the combined group, and Cyril Fletcher was nothing.
Yeah.
He virtually
phased out.
Well, yeah, it didn't sound too good what they did.
Yeah.
And Alan Shoebridge was the chief mechanical engineer of Jane. Or chief engineer, I think you call it Jane.
That's Shoebridge's father. He was the man. What was his name again? The bloke at
John.
John's father.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He was the chief engineer of the town.
Is he still alive, Al Gower?
I'm not too certain. Bob Patterson will be able to tell you, I'm sure. Yeah. He used to keep in touch with the old chap.
Yeah.
And he was as different as Chalk and Cheese used to be modern day. Or when I used to talk to modern day, I'd look at Joe and
Chalk
and Cheese. Oh, you're fine, aren't you?
Fine. That's his gentleman. Struck him. I don't know how we come involved I suppose it was with power lines going over South Maitland. But over the years, I struck a lot of Alan and Sue Ridge. Very nice chap.
He never ever did anything relative to you or I or anything in our jurisdiction without I got a copy.
Yeah.
And the other characters, you had to get on your knees to beg for information, you know. So he was, what a chief should be.
Did Sydney office have much to do with you once, did you always deal with Hexham?
Well, in the Caledonian days, it was all through Watt Street.
Yeah.
And the man who puzzled me absolutely in the overall setup was Merv Jones.
Yeah.
How he became such a behind the scenes has had me stuck for years, particularly now, but he was couple creepy. I don't know why.
Yeah.
He wouldn't know
anything about it.
Of course not. Anyway, he was pretty oh, he used to handle the industrial disputation and so on. Yeah, well, that got the where he came from, I don't know.
Was that, that's when it was Kelly's day?
That's when it was Kelly.
But before him, there was just a chap that handled it before Merv. Merv was in my bracket, he's nearly our age.
Yeah.
But there were people before him.
I
just want to, I'll come up with it in a minute.
You know, I heard. I don't even know why. It's just going through my mind. He might be dead, but I'm back. He might be dead.
And just let me get on to a little bit of personal stuff while I've got a little bit of time. Yeah. When did you get involved in the bowling club?
Oh, Jesus.
Was that in 52? You
no, that would have been in 53. I think it was 53, yeah.
How did you come to be involved in that?
Well, I was from Dorrington.
Oh, Doro was the treasurer, wasn't he?
No, he was nothing. Only Gotham. They took me in Joe Myers' pub one day. They took me in there. So I had a pair of cricket creams, some of these bowling shoes that I think were double up like a bloody canaries, you know. I had an old cricket shirt. It was creamed it off. My old gear, my old rig was, the gear was all borrowed.
Yes.
That's the first time I didn't let me back. I say 54. Yeah. 54, the first time I went there. And from then on it was a nightly occurrence with Dick Fitzpatrick and the rest of them to play the shots in Jeremiah's pub.
They were good years, your years in the club, but weren't they? I mean, I reckon your administration was good.
I enjoyed it. It was one of the things that, it was fun. It was a fun time. I enjoyed it. Yeah. That was a start. I've often thought of the modern day trend as to what it was then, but I think that game was a mixed game. And Cracker Moody was the worst kid in bowls.
Yeah.
And I'm playing a Tommy Dorrick, and I don't know who the ladies would be, I have no idea. And they were striking a match, and it was on the, what is now the number one green.
Yeah.
Cracker's bowl, I'm sure Tom was playing third, but he had to strike a match, and Cracker had to hit the jack on the side.
Yeah.
And he hit the bar. Yeah. And I can see that now. Yeah. And it was.
I can remember that when they played the matches. They often struck a match on the green and held it up for them to see where the kitty was.
And he hit it on the side that he had hit it.
I think those days were very happy in our club when we only had the little bar and everyone took their turn behind the bar. And
you know, I don't know you. Here's one thing I can say about. This is another thing I'm terribly unhappy about. I rescued these lovely things and I don't know whether the rest of them are. Did I ever show you some of these, Jack? These photos?
What photos? Club photos?
Yeah.
It should be. Our club should have always had a historic library of all those early members and presidents.
I think I'd be blessed if that door was ever been destroyed, you know.
I mean, there was fellows like old Dickie, all those old early blokes, you know, they were. And to think of the early days in our club when there was so much fellowship and friendship, and everybody was involved in all the capers that were not.
Yeah, that's what gave me the shits the other day, then when we came home from Dunkirk, you know, and Andy came out of those a big deal because somebody offered to fill in. That was the name of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I've got photos of the closing of the old bar, you know.
Maybe the old.
You showed us that was all his old stand there.
Yeah, there he is somewhere.
70, is it? 70?
Hmm?
It's 70
is standing. Oh, 70 bucket is a fucking old thing. Yeah. That was a bed. Jesus,
there either. No, I wouldn't give them away to anybody, but I'll probably
old Vic Fairall and all the rest.
They're around somewhere, but I mean, well,
I wasn't going to ask any comments on prison administration. I was only more interested in your own thoughts of it. Which Greens, when you went there, you only had the one Green, wasn't it? When you became president, did we have two Greens by that stage? I think we did. That was the Jock Dyer yeah. winning then, didn't it?
Yeah, we had two, and then we built the third one.
Was that
made
the
rubber.
The rubber Green, that's right, that's where that was.
That's the bottom.
Yeah,
did that start off as rubber?
Rubber.
Rubber, yeah.
It was rubber. Started as rubber. We sent the mob up to... A
bullet dealer.
Bullet dealer and came back, Wilfred Ross, full of praise for the rubber green.
That's my gal Jolson, all black in the pocket.
Yeah, around your feet.
We tried every, well, one thing, the club always tried. They tried every bloody thing. I don't care what we tried.
It was good to play on a parade because you'd see your march.
Oh, it wasn't bad to play on any time. It was pretty true.
Oh, well, I think we all realised, I think we realised too, Jack, that we go 100 yards and play on grass somewhere.
Yeah,
But we'll be trying. I laughed. I didn't laugh. I looked at the standard the other day. I was telling Alan, and I'd never seen it. But the current sign for the Sandy Ground Green.
Yeah.
I thought somebody's got a tin of bloody green painted.